So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Man, I'm going to tell you what, I feel like that God has given me a word tonight. There's a season that a pastor goes through, a season of encouragement. There's a season of teaching. There's a season of correction. But I'm going to talk about something tonight that might not make you shout in the beginning. But if you will get this in your spirit, it will change your life during the week. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, you know, I had one guy, one little kid said, Pastor, he said, I like that you preach about what you know about. And I said, well, thank you. He said, because you know a lot about sin. And there's some truth to that. I don't, you know, you can be all holy if you want to. I know about some sin. And so I want to talk to you, thank you, musicians. I want to talk to you tonight about the effects of sin on the believer. Now, I know what some of you are saying, and please don't send me any emails. I know what some of you are saying. I don't sin anymore. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Pride. Pride. The effects of sin on the believer. And man, if you want to talk about the effects of sin on a person of God, you don't have to look far in the Bible to find it. But I believe one of the greatest people that exemplifies what I'm going to talk about tonight is King David. Because man, David, he was a mess up, wasn't he? He was just messed up, dysfunctional. But God called him a man after his own heart. And I like the fact that you can be messed up, not have it all together, elbows all ashy, come on somebody, your knees all messed up, your feet all messed up, ingrown toenails, all of it, be all messed up, but still be all right with God. Amen. That's called grace. Amen. So I want to talk about it. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I'm reading for the New American Standard Version. And then I'm going to take one verse out of the King James Version because I just like the way it says it. In the book of Psalms 51, that's pretty close into the middle of your Bible. For those of you who don't know where it's at, it's in the Old Testament. If you're there, say amen. All right. I'm going to get to reading because it is 7:42. And I'm going to read this whole chapter. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, somebody can talk about stuff if they've been through a lot. David was a messed up, but man, nobody could outdo David on repenting. David was a masterful repenting. I was watching this show, and there were back in the medieval times, and this one guy had to grovel. That was part of his punishment, is going down the streets groveling as he went. And he didn't know how to do it because he had never done it. The guy next to him, he goes, just follow my lead, I'm a master at it. And so David became a master at repenting because he kept messing up. So he says, for I know my transgression. I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He's not talking about overeating. That his sin, his stomach, is ever before me. He said, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssops, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I want you to know that the blood still knows how to make us white as snow. Make me to hear hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away. This is always my prayer. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I don't want any of the punishments. Come on, somebody. I don't want any of the judgments. But this one I have to have. I have to be in his presence. Because if I can't get in his presence, I'm not going to be able to function well. He says, so do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. So when we worship, that's what you ought to be doing. Opening up your mouth and letting your lips declare his praise. Amen. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. But you are pleased, or you are not pleased, with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Now, what that simply means is that if you messed up with your spouse, flowers might gloss it over, but what they would rather have is a heartfelt apology, a heartfelt understanding. Same thing with God. He says, by your favor, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you would delight in righteous sacrifice and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altars. Now, let me say this from the onslaught. I find myself in the last few weeks saying this a lot. That the more that my life lines up with this book, the less miracles I need. If I handle my finances according to this book, the less miracles I need of finances. If I do my health according to this book, I'm not as sick. Come on, somebody. If I treat my kids the way this book tells me I ought to treat them, then I don't need a miracle to get them out of. If I treat my spouse the way this book tells me to, then I don't need as many miracles in my marriage. Now, Proverbs 13:15, write it down, underline it, whatever, because here's what it says. God's understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I want that to sink in. I don't know why I'm in this situation. Because the ways of transgressors is hard. Every choice has a decision, and every decision, you know, has consequences. Every choice has a decision, every decision has consequences. And every action has a reaction. And so some of us are in these situations because of our own selves. Okay? So now I preached on victimhood on Sunday, and I'm not going to rehearse that sermon again. But if you've got to get through, decide I'm not going to be a victim any longer. I'm moving out of the victimhood into a new neighborhood. Come on, somebody. But now in Psalms 51, David, King David, prayed after it was revealed to him. I like what one commentator said. He said he prayed after it was revealed to him that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, I disagree with that. I don't think he had to go, whoops. Wow. That's what happened, huh? But he did begin to pray, not when he understood, or not when he, it was revealed, when it was revealed to everybody. That's when he began to pray. See, that's the difference between, being sorry that you caught and being sorry. Now, he was being sorry that he got caught. He wasn't mentioning it. Who? What? Huh? And then it was revealed, and then he started praying. And not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, and this is the prayer from this, from the Bathsheba situation. He saw her bathing on the top of a roof, and he, the Bible says, in the time when he should have been at war, he was at home. So that tells you, you ought to be where you're supposed to be in order to do what you need to do, in order to get what you need to get, instead of getting what you shouldn't get. All right? So here he is in a place where he shouldn't be. Well, right there, I could just preach right there. What places shouldn't you be? Well, Pastor, I wish you'd give us a list. There are too many. What places shouldn't you be? You know, listen. No, I'm not going to go there. You'll be happy, honey. I did. I moved on. She said, honey, I got a headache today. Please behave. All right, so. But when David's sin was exposed, he broke down and cried to God for mercy and forgiveness. And he prayed a prayer of repentance, which is Psalms 51. So when you know the story behind the chapter, then it gives you a little bit more understanding. Now, I chose this scripture for two reasons. One, because as we read the words of this chapter, you get a sense of his grief. You get a sense of his pain and of his anguish. And David feels how he feels about this sin that he committed. But two, the second reason why I chose this passage is because it reveals the devastating effects that sin has on the life of someone who calls themselves a believer. Now, Pastor Al, we understand that this was Old Testament. Oh, shut up. I know that too. But he was a man that served God, but yet he was sinning. And as believers today, if you sin, there are consequences to sin. Especially unrepented and keep repeating sin. All right? So Psalms 51 are words of a truly repentant man, but they're also the words of a once powerful man of God whose life has been devastated by sin. There's an old song that says, sin will take you further than you wanted to go, make you stay longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. That's like the two couple, they were fussing. And she said, I want a divorce. He said, baby, I will buy you a brand new car. She said, I don't want a car. I want a divorce. Baby, I'll buy you a brand new house. He said, I don't want a new house. She said, I don't want a new house. I want a divorce. He said, I wasn't planning on spending that much. But anyway, listen to me closely. Sin is a killer. Sin is a destroyer. Sin deals or steals, kills, and destroys, and we make excuses for it. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But so many of us make excuses for it. I know sin is wrong, but I know that we shouldn't be living together outside of marriage, but God understands. I know that I shouldn't be drinking. I know that I shouldn't have this bitterness in my heart. I know that I shouldn't have unforgiveness, but I think God don't like that person also. And so we try to excuse why we are doing what we're doing. And too many Christians today treat sin like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Well, what I do don't hurt anybody. What I do don't hurt anybody. It's just me. It's just me by myself. It's like my little secret friend that lives in my closet. No one ever knows he's there. He keeps me company when I'm bored, when I'm lonely. He doesn't bother anybody. But can I tell you, that little sin that you think is innocent can be deadly, and deadly to your relationships, deadly to your life. That's what David thought when he was tempted to sin with Bathsheba. Sin took David, a great man of God, and reduced him down to an adulterer. Don't raise your hand on this one I'm about to ask you. Have you ever been at a place and you went, how did I become where I'm at? How did I get here? How did I get here? And listen to me. One of the things I never want to be is a professional preacher pastor. I don't like them. I don't want to be one. But I've been doing it for almost 30 years. Well, pastor, how do you? You have to fight against it. And when you feel yourself becoming a professional pastor or a professional preacher, you got to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. That you got to remember that you're doing the work of God and you're doing the work for God, or you're doing the work, you're His hands, but you're not God. And you got to remember that you love people because God loves people. He died for people. He bled and was cursed because of people. But people will hurt you and kill you. But you got to just keep remembering why you're doing what you're doing. All right? Now that's my little deal. What's your deal? I'm not asking you because we don't have time. What's your deal? What is your deal that you know, well, pastor, being a professional pastor ain't sin, is it? Yes, it is. Not giving my all to God is sin. Because here's what the Bible says: to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. No, let's go one step further. You think sin, you know, well, pastor, I don't sin because I don't smoke, chew, or run around with women who do. That's not sin. Sin is anything that's not of faith. Sin is missing the mark. That's what sin is about. All right? Let's talk about it a little bit. All right? So when we think of how greatly David was used of God, we wonder how such a great man of God could fall so far and fall so hard. But the reality of it is this. Not only is no one immune to the temptation of sin, no one is immune to the effects of sin. You're not immune from it, and you're not immune from the effects. We could talk about every, you know, we could talk about every fallen ministry and known to man. But that's... You know, that's them, pastor. That's right. And we judge them. No, let's look at you in your life. Let's look at me in my life. Listen, when I preach messages like this, I want you to understand God has already dealt with me. And He's not as sweet as I am to me. He just tells me straight. Come on, somebody. Before David's great sin, he had a great testimony. 1 Samuel 13:14, David was called the man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel 16:14, he was so anointed that he could play a musical instrument and make the spirit of hell depart. Man, he would begin to play and sing and worship, and people would just bask. But now here he is, because of his own action, has invited him in. God used him to defeat a lion, to defeat a bear, to defeat a 10-foot tall giant. He was elevated to the head of Saul's army. God gave him great victories. God elevated him to the king of Israel. But one day, something that seemed so benign, something so simple, turned into a sin that plagued David the rest of his life. David repents. Thank God. David prayed to prayer of repentance. We gain some insights into the effect of sin on his personal life. Now it's 7:58, but I'm going to give you a few things here. Point number one is this. Sin violates the covenant between you and God. What separates you and God? You know, I had somebody tell me just the other day, I just can't feel God. Well, let me tell you this. It's like the old man and old woman going down the road in an old truck, in one of those old, you remember the old bench trucks before they had bucket seats? They were going down the road in the old bench truck, and they passed another young couple, and they was all snuggled up like one person. You know what I'm talking about? Just one person all snuggled up. And she looked at him as he was driving and said, "Why don't we sit like that anymore?" And he said, "I didn't move." I'm still, listen, God's still in the driver's seat. He didn't move. What happened to cause you to move away from God? What happened to cause you to lose that awe of God? What happened? Verse 4 of David's prayer says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." David plainly acknowledged that he had violated his covenant with God. Now, the question then begs that you have to ask, what is a covenant? Because this day and time, we as Americans don't understand covenant, and we don't appreciate it. We don't take it serious. But a covenant is an agreement made between two parties. Both parties agree upon their lives to abide by the regulations of their covenant. In a covenant, both parties have an expressed responsibility to uphold their end of the covenant. Abraham made a covenant with God. And God said, "I'll make you a great nation if you'll do this, I will do this for you." And do you ever recognize what God asks you to give is always less than what he's going to return to you? If you will give me your life, I will give you life. If you will give me your heart, I will give you life. If you will give me your situation, I will give you peace. See, when we got saved, we enter into a covenant with God, because a covenant is binding until death. And we entered into a covenant with God, and in essence, our covenant with God is a marriage covenant. And the couple agrees in a marriage, the couple agrees to be faithful to each other until death. The couple agrees to lay down their life for one another, and they know, and they begin, as they begin life anew. When we sin, we violate the covenant we make with God, and that we make with God to be faithful to him. That's what happens when we sin. We violate the covenant. We don't live up to our end of it. Sin breaks the heart of God. Listen, when we're married, man, my wife has told me, "Honey, it would just break my heart if you ever cheated on me." I said, "Well, baby, I'm not going to cheat on you because I'm scared of you." It might break her heart, but she'd figure out how to kill me. I know that. I rest assured of that. Sin brings approach to God, reproach to God. Now, number two is this: repeated sin makes us spiritual adulterers. Boy, God, ain't I glad I came tonight? Wow, yeah, woo! Thanks, Pastor. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to get you to understand that this thing that we're walking out with God is not a que sera. I'm in one week and out the other week. I'm in one week and out the other week. I'm stepping out on God today, but Sunday I'll be all right. You know, Pastor, I try to do my best to live right on Wednesdays and Sundays. Way to go. Try that with your spouse. "Hey, honey, I'm faithful to you except the weekends. I'm faithful to you except on Sunday or Wednesday." Try that with your spouse. Forensic files. When Israel continued in sin, God compared them. Don't be mad, honey. This is what the Word of God says. It compared them to whores and prostitutes. That's tight, boy. Ooh, somebody help me. Ezekiel 16:25 says, "You built yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable, and you..." I'm reading the word. New American Standard, because y'all don't get it. And you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. Well, I'm not sure what that means, Pastor. Then you are a moron. Verse 32 of Ezekiel 16 says, "You adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband." My Lord, you're looking for something that God's already right standing right in front of you trying to give you. Hear me, church. Sinning is the equivalent of giving up something precious for a temporary thrill. Are we talking about sex right now? No, it goes so far beyond that. You know, if you've been in church long enough, you've reduced sin down to a small category. Smoking, drinking. Cussing, that's in there. Yeah, we like that one. Cussing and sex outside of marriage. We think there's four sins. My God, there's 10 commandments. Right? Here's the deal. Here's what you've got to recognize. John, how long have you and Judy been married? Good answer. Yeah, he got nervous. 31, 32. It's coming up. All right, so they've been married 31, 32 years. Me and my wife have been married 33 years, 4 months, 3 days, and I have no idea. But no. But we've been married for 33 years. Now, what Judy needs from John is a little different than what Sherry may need from Ronnie. But I promise you, both of them need covenant relationship. She might not watch Forensic Files, but I promise you, she wants covenant, right? And that's the word all of us. Why are you doing that? Here's the deal. That's why we just can't say, well, if you'll do this, this, that, and the other, then you will you won't be sinning. That's why God said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. That's what we're to do. Treat your neighbor right. Love your neighbor. You see, that because God requires some things, the things that are not in stone, he requires out of us maybe different than what others. Here's the thing, though. If you don't obey his voice, then it is sin. Man, that's tough, right? Covenant relationship is more than a weekend love affair, but it's an ongoing lifestyle of commitment and faithfulness to the one you love. As Christians, we got to live up to our part of the covenant and be faithful to God. Never give to the pressures of your peers. Live holy before the Lord. Don't dare give your body away like everybody else. You might think you're the only one living for God. I've had that here recently. Pastor, nobody else is living right. I'm the only one. Well, there's a story in the book of Kings about the prophet Elijah that said, I'm the only one who haven't bowed a knee to Baal. He said, no, I got 7,000 that still hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. You just don't see them. And matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Bible says that we are to stand against the powers of hell, that we, our brethren, are going through some of the same thing that you and I are, but we just got to stand like some of them, right? You can live, look at your neighbor and tell them, you can live a holy life. You just got to get your mind right. Single adults, man, my heart goes out to singles today. Oh my God. I'm telling you right now, if I was single, I'm doing ancestry.com. I mean, I want to see who's crazy in your life. I'm gonna go check. And I tell you, you ought to check with their pastor. Oh, pastor, they go to church. Where? Well, they don't really have a home church. They lying. Go talk to their pastor. They go to church here. They regular. They a tithe payer? Because they'll steal from God. They'll steal your money. Next thing you know, you'll be working. They'll be at home eating some bonbons. Taking all your money. Sin makes spiritual prostitutes of us. Christ is not coming for a prostitute. He's coming for a virgin who's been faithful and have kept herself unspotted from the world. He's coming for a bride. Number 3 is this. Sin dulls your senses to the things of God. What is wrong with the church? I'll tell you what's wrong with the church is our senses have been dull to the things of God. Oh God, send your glory. Just not enough to change me. Lord, send your glory, just not enough to convict me. Now, Pastor, you're talking to the Wednesday night crowd. I know it. So I got to start with the faithful. We got to start somewhere, guys. David, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I can say, tell you 100% yes. Give me my next slide. The more you sin, the easier it is to sin. Remember the first time you sinned? You're like, oh my God, Lord Jesus, help me, God. You were David, man. Oh God, my sin is ever before me. Oh Heavenly Father, please forgive me. Oh, and then the second time, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I just didn't want to. The third time, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. The fourth time, Lord, I ask you to. The fifth time, Lord, I just, you know, Lord, you know, God, I just couldn't help it, Lord. The sixth time, Lord, you know. The seventh time, God knows my heart. Am I talking to anybody? God knows my heart. I like what one little boy said. One little boy said, being sorry or truly repenting is being sorry enough to quit. The more you sin, the easier it becomes. David, adulterer, cover up, murder, denial. The more you sin, the less guilty you feel. Well, I don't even feel guilty about that no more. Well, yeah, because your conscience has been seared with the hot iron, is what Paul said. Oh, that's tough, man. Everybody all right? Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, I ain't mad at nobody but the devil. I hope I ain't coming across mad, man. I'm just trying to get your life back. I'm trying to get the presence of the Holy Spirit back in your life. I'm trying to get your senses once again asking for the Holy Spirit to walk in. And it doesn't take a piece of dynamite to move you, but just a still small voice you can feel and sense His presence. Come on, somebody. That comes from repentance. When you have caked mud on you, you don't know, you can't feel nothing crawling on you. But man, when you so squeaky clean, boy, your skin is sensitive, right? You're like, oh, what's that crawling on me? That's where I want us to be with God, man. What is that? Oh, I felt that. Now, listen, here's the problem. With Pentecostals, here's the problem, because we got so many weirdos. How many ever watched The Highlander? Anybody ever seen The Highlander? Oh, yeah, The Highlander. When another Highlander came in, the one they would sense one another, and they would just go no matter what they were doing. And we got some people like that in Jesus, in Christ, man. They're like, oh, the Lord wants you to pick that squash right there. Let it speak for itself. 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what Paul said. The more you sin, the more you dilute your standards and the more you dilute your principles. There is a progression to sin. It takes you further than you want to go. What about the prodigal son? He said, I would have fain have filled my belly with the husk that the swine did eat. See, that's when you know you've fallen, when the stuff that used to disgust you, you find yourself doing. That's when you know you've fallen. But when you find yourself, the Bible said he came to himself. The Holy Spirit didn't come down. Because he was so out into that world, he couldn't even sense it. He came to himself. What am I doing? How many's ever done that? Man, I have. You know, you can call it the Holy Spirit, whatever. What am I doing? Why am I living this way? Why did I get out of church? Why did I quit going? Because somebody offended me? Lord, people offend me at Walmart all the time. I still go. Why? Well, I'm not going to church because hypocrites go there. Have you been to the Y? I wouldn't go work out there because fat people go there and work out. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. The more you sin, the less you feel and the less you hear the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Look at Samson. Man, he kept laying his head in Delilah's lap. And eventually, when they came in, she said, "Hey, the Philistines are upon you." He said, "Ha, I'll do like I've always done." And the Bible said he knew not that the Spirit had departed. He knew not that the Spirit had departed. Because can I tell you, this thing don't happen overnight, guys. Number four, sin robs you of your joy. Some people can't enjoy Jesus because they got too much of the world. So here's what I say. You got too much, you got just enough of God that you can't enjoy the world, and just enough of the world that you can't enjoy God. Man, you can't be. Jesus said, if you ain't radical, you ain't spit. He didn't use quite those words. He said, I would not have you lukewarm. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All right? So verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness for the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Man, listen, man, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But there's some folks in this place right now, and I know it by the Holy Spirit. I know it by the Holy Spirit. Y'all missed it. I felt it. I know it by the Holy Spirit. That there are people right now that you're not enjoying your salvation. And you're wondering why. It might be. I'm not saying it might be because sin has robbed you. Maybe you've allowed some things in that you used to not allow. Sin is a burden to your life. It's a burden to your spirit. When you are burdened down with guilt of sin, you cannot enjoy serving the Lord. That's why so many Christians can't enjoy serving God. You know, I mean, it's not a chore for me to come to church, folks. Well, of course, you're the one, you know, you're the one up screaming at everybody. It's like the little boy said, I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up. If I'm going to have to go to church, I might as well be the one screaming at everybody. No, man. Look, Pastor Chris, he didn't have to be here tonight. Maybe he did. Maybe the Holy Spirit told him, go to Crystal River. I don't. But what I'm saying is I like going to church. Why? Because that's where my peace is, man. I like being around God's people. I like being in the presence of God. Well, but I just can't. I can get in the presence of God. I don't care what they sing. I don't care what they do. I can be surrounded by hypocrites. But if I'm in right standing with God, my worship and my understanding, my covenant, doesn't filter through the pastor, the worship, nobody. It goes from me unto God. So you need to say, God, just restore to me the joy of my salvation. Number five, sin separates you from fellowship with God. Sin separates you from fellowship with God. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, or take thy Holy Spirit from me. Adam and Eve, remember that? Remember that couple? Well, they were cast out of the garden. Who wants to be around people who are unfaithful to them? Boy, come on, somebody. Somebody who is constantly unfaithful. You want to be around them? I don't think so. I'll be watching some Forensic Files. How about Jonah? How about Jonah running from the presence of God? Number six, though. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we ought to know this. The blessing of repentance. Created me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Create in me. Purge me with hyssops, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to do something, Josh. Come and be ready. But I prepared this message earlier, like yesterday, and I really think that's why God was dealing with me about some of these songs.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.